Hello and welcome to the Metapod, the Pokemon TCG podcast that revolves around the evolving meta. We're back, baby. Here better than ever. Hopefully. But Sean, how are you doing today?
I'm good. We're definitely back. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we are better than ever, Jake. I don't know. That's let's be optimistic. That's a good thing.
I'm
still not in my basement.
Yeah, that's why I was slightly hesitant, because I was like, ooh, wait, I'm recording this and Sean's hanging out. So, but we got a lot of good stuff to talk about today. Sean, have you been playing any Pokemon lately?
I haven't played a ton of Pokemon lately. This format is just really long. Hell Day and Fates, there's a couple of good cards in it, but for the most part, it's like minimally invasive, so to speak. It doesn't really change all that much. But I have been playing a lot of Gym Leader Challenge with friends, and that's been fun.
I also recently sleeved up my Gym Leader Challenge once again, Sean. Put my old Wailord water deck back together. It took forever to find the list that I had, though, because I don't know why, but some of the lists, like, I thought I had it in this one deck box, like all of it, even if it was sleeved or unsleeved. But for some reason, some of the cards got mumbo jumboed elsewhere, and I can't also find my like Bridgets and AZs. I don't know where they are, which thankfully is not needed in that specific list, but Bridget is at least a pretty good GLC card. So I was like, where is it? I know I have one. But anyways, yeah, GLC is the way that I like playing right now. But we will talk about a future format coming here soon if you're a little bit tired of this Paradox Rift format. Basically, a lot of this news is going to be the future going on right now, whether that's future format, future sets, and future news that you're going to want to mark on your calendars as well. But Sean, we've got a review that we need to read. You made sure to put it in the chat of our notes. I think I've been a little slacking lately on the review part, but we're living in the now.
Everything's so out of whack, you know, in so many different ways. But I was like, you know, we got a couple of reviews actually on YouTube, mm-hmm. that were very kind. We might have reviews elsewhere too that I just haven't checked, but I wanted to start doing those to get to those reviews. So Jake, do you want to take it away?
Sure. We've got MovieMon 17. Yet again, a delightful sight to see Jake and Sean together on the Metapod podcast. All that, the Metapod podcast in all capital letters to emphasize Metapod podcast, advertising the Metapod podcast. You two continue to hit your stride, interject humor, wit, fun, and perspective on the Pokemon TCG scene. More banter about your other card games, more guests, and get your bodies and minds ready for a spring of new EX-based standard. The future is here, and so is the Metapod. 5-star review. Make it to 200, but please, please, please meet up by NAIC this year.
No guarantees. Jake and I have talked. We've talked about it a little bit.
I've been looking at our schedule, and so for anyone who doesn't know, like, I work for sports teams over here in Las Vegas, and my dependency on NAIC, because especially it's in New Orleans, which when it was in like Columbus or Indianapolis, it was super easy to get to, but now with New Orleans, it's that's a little bit more difficult. So it's definitely a TBD, but I know at least one event here in the next 2.5 years that I can go to. But also, Sean and I talked, there's an Indianapolis regional. Was it Indianapolis that we talked about?
And then there was LA.
LA. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. One of those two. Yeah. So it might actually be one of those two instead of NAIC, but it's still in the works. Sean and I work every week, it seems like, to try to get a little bit closer to meeting after 3, 4, 10 years of doing the Metapod podcast. But anyways, Sean, let's talk about this spring, this upcoming spring, PokeBeach.com. I almost forgot to switch the screen to show everybody else the news that's going on. It did an exclusive reveal of the upcoming Scarlet and Violet Twilight Masquerade set. Twilight Masquerade releasing on May 24th. It will be our SV6 set. Again, being our spring set, the name referencing Ogerpon, which, if you do not know, like Sean, maybe you haven't played the recent games, is one of the new Pokemon, kind of the new mascot of the DLC. So pre-releases are going to happen May 11th through the 19th. So if you're looking, you know, after school gets out or something like that, or you're looking for some summer plans, this is an excellent one to do. It has not been officially announced in Japan in terms of the teal mask cards in terms of the Pokemon with like Ogerpon, because Ogerpon is like multiple Pokemon essentially, or multiple different forms based on the mask that it wears. So it'll be really curious to see how this pre-release goes.
Is it kind of like the Simisear, Panseer, like the monkey?
No,
right?
So it's not necessarily different Pokemon. I think that this is more of like Necrozma kind of deal. Or no, maybe, right. Maybe actually Arceus. Arceus is probably the best example of this. So like Arceus, you know, is a normal type Pokemon, right?
Yeah.
But if you give it the different plates to as like a held item, it then changes type, it changes appearance, right? Like the colors. That's probably the best example. Like depending on the mask that the Ogerpon wears, it changes its kind of form into and typing per se. So there's four different Ogerpon forms. So I'm curious. I think this would be super cool. I don't know if they'll actually do it, but I think because usually with pre-releases, they do four different pre-release promos. I think it would be cool if the four pre-release promos were the four Ogerpons.
You know what could be, I don't know, like, would you also see, what's the Pokemon that we got all the item cards that changed its typing back in Sun and Moon, I want to say?
Silvally.
So I could also see, you know, maybe there being a return to a Silvally style Pokemon TCG where they're holding tool cards. And so you have one Ogerpon.
Mm-hmm.
And then depending on the tool card that you attach to it, it becomes different types.
Pokemon has really enforced the idea of tool cards as of late, since they made the tool card change. So more things should be revealed within the next month of this set, but we do know that our English set is going to include cards from the special jumbo card set Ogerpon, which has like a new Ogre mask promo. Ogre mask promo maybe being keyed into a Pokemon tool card, right?
Yeah.
Ogre mask could be a Pokemon tool that allows Ogerpon to change into her different forms. Which I think could be cool. I'd be curious to see if it's like a dual form or not. It could be like the other.
Because they're saying here, right? Like at the bottom here, the Ogre mask change into grass water, grass fire, grass fighting. So maybe it'll be interesting to see if Ogerpon is maybe instead of a base colorless, because that doesn't make sense. Right? Silvally being a colorless makes sense. But maybe the Ogerpon EX is base grass.
Yeah.
And then the different masks you put on add a typing to it. And, you know, maybe add a typing and an attack the same way that some of the new TMs add. That would be interesting. I don't know. It could be, I don't know. There's a lot of space here I think they can play with.
There's a lot of different cool ideas. The Pokemon trading card game has been having some fun as of late. And if you want to have some fun in the Pokemon trading card game, one of the places that we recommend is going to the World Championships. And surprise to, I think, almost everybody, except the people who announced this. The San Francisco Business Times announced that Worlds 2026, you heard that right, 2026, is going to be held at San Francisco's Moscone Center from August 28th to August 30th. Sean, for all of our listeners or video watchers that are seeing the news, we don't even know where 2025 is yet, and we already have dates and location of 2026. Great for planning, especially if you are traveling internationally from another country, but kind of silly, honestly, but much fun.
Yeah, it was reported by the San Francisco Business Times. Mm-hmm. So what it feels like, and Jake, actually, you and I've talked about this before, which is that these deals that are made with convention centers and cities are probably done, you know, years in advance.
They are done so far in advance.
Right. So that's why, like, these contracts are put into place. So if you need to expand capacity, reduce it, change cities, it's a whole ordeal that it's hard to do in like a few months' notice. So I don't think it's a surprise to us that it's this far in advance that the Pokemon company is doing it. But yeah, it is weird that like the Business Times sort of like scooped this reveal from Pokemon. Like, I'm sure they're all very excited in San Francisco to get the Pokemon World Championships. But I'm sure somebody at Pokemon company is like, guys, what are we doing? Stop.
Wait. 2024 Worlds hasn't even happened yet.
Right. Do we even know the dates for 2024 Worlds yet? We know the rough time frame, and we know it's in Hawaii. I don't even know if we know the exact weekend. Do we?
I hasn't even held yet. We won't even know where 25. I don't even. I can't remember off the top of my head, but that's more probably because I'm not going to Worlds this year, if that makes sense. Like, I would probably know it if I was going to Worlds. Okay, I don't remember ever hearing. We do know
the
dates.
16th. It's the 6th. It's two different weekends that I'm seeing right here on an older article, but either the 9th to the 11th or the 16th to the 18th is the guess. I would guess the 16th to the 18th. They tend to go later in August, but yeah, as far as I can see, we might be wrong, but like, I don't know if it's widely known, especially what the exact dates for Honolulu are. So it's pretty crazy.
Either way, San Francisco, I saw a lot of support in the decision to hold Worlds in San Francisco. I think a lot of people were saying, especially because I think this venue has hosted Pokemon events before, or at least San Francisco has hosted major Pokemon events in recent memory. A lot of people really like this city, and I think it's a decent choice as well. Like, a pretty good choice if you talk about U.S. cities. You know, it's a big, big city. There's a lot to do, but not, like, too crazy, right? I feel like it's better than Columbus. And it's honestly in August in San Francisco, California is going to be a nice time of year. Well, it's going to be enjoyable for most all people in terms of weather and stuff like that. And then also it's like, it's pretty easy to get to and then travel around.
Yes. Big, big international hub for travelers from all over the world. Not to say, obviously, Tokyo is a big international hub too, but
yeah,
maybe like Hawaii is, I would argue maybe a little more niche. Like, it's obviously a tourist destination, but not every country will likely have direct flights to Hawaii.
Yes.
Places. Mm-hmm. It's an island, right? So, yeah, I'll be interested to see where 2025 ends up, though, because, yeah, like, does Europe finally get a world championship, or do we go back to, like, maybe next year? Maybe next year it's on the East Coast in the U.S., Jake. Maybe it comes back.
Well, I don't think...
Maybe to the South.
Well, I guess they could do multiple years of the U.S. because if you look from literally 2004 to 2019,
yeah,
it was all USA. So, I mean, we just had a UK World Championship in Europe in 2022 and then in Japan in 2023. I could see potentially Like, if we're taking guesses and we're just trying to go out right? If we're just trying to go out there, if it's not going to be the East Coast of the U.S., I could maybe see something like Brazil, potentially, in terms of a world championship, right? It'd be Latin America. It'd be kind of like a new region, per se, in terms of hosting the world championships. Brazil is kind of the first one that comes to mind for me if we talk about, like, you know, what countries in, like, Latin America could host the world championships. So we'll see if that ever happens in the Pokemon trading card game. I think it'd be cool. There are so many good players in, you know, Latin America, and especially in and from Brazil, right? We talk about Gustavo Wada one of them. We've mentioned their name so many times on this podcast. So could be cool, could be interesting. We'll see exactly how it goes. But I can tell you right now, I'll probably be at World Championships in San Francisco, because that is not that far of a drive for me. So if Sean and I don't meet this year, and it takes all the way until 2026, if Sean goes to San Francisco Worlds, I'm in.
Okay.
The last time Worlds was held in San Francisco, though, was 2016. So good enough to go back after 10 years.
Yep. Next thing on the agenda, though, Jake, is a little bit closer in terms of time frame. Temporal Forces. Jake and I are discussing, like, when we're going to do our set review and post-rotation stuff. But in the meanwhile, they did announce the pre-release promos for the next main set. And we can take a look at the... Usually it's four. Is it four?
Yeah, it's four different
promos. That will be in those pre-release kits. So if you're not familiar, when you go to a pre-release, you get a little stack of cards and then you get a few packs. At the face of the stack of cards is like a fancier one that usually has a special stamp on it. And typically your little pack of cards will in some way be anchored around the strategy of that face card. So pre-release promos. Jake, what's the first pre-release promo on the list here?
The first pre-release promo is Feraligatr, 180 HP stage 2 Pokemon, evolves from the Totodile line, has an ability and an attack. The ability is Torrent Heart. Once during your turn, you may put 5 damage counters on this Pokemon. If you do, this Pokemon's attacks do 120 more damage to your opponent's active Pokemon during this turn, and for 2 water energies you get Great Wave for 160 damage. During your next turn, this Pokemon can't use Great Wave.
All right.
In the pre-release format, I don't know if this is great. I mean, it could help you take knockouts on opposing like big EX boss monster Pokemon, right? Because in pre-release formats, sometimes it feels like if you just don't pull an EX, like, you lose. So this could help you kind of even that out a little bit. But honestly, like, in the pre-release format, you probably don't want to use the ability, right? You just want to use Gray Wave and then maybe...
Just do
160. I feel like that's probably usually enough to get you there.
It's interesting. I think you're absolutely right on... It feels like this was chosen because it's an EX... killer, so to speak. You know, your opponent can't just sit a 230 240 HP basic EX, or maybe a stage 1 EX with 260 to 280. They can't just stick that in the front, deal out crazy damage, and then take like 3 prizes in a row before you kill it, because again, in pre-release format there's only 4 prize cards too. So the longer it takes you to knock out that EX, even if it gives up 2 prizes, you know, if they take out 3 of your Pokemon in the meanwhile, it's still a good trade for them. So, but I think the hardest part for this one for me is that it's, you're sticking this attack on a stage 2. So your opponent is more likely to get into their EX maybe faster than you are to get into the stage 2. And so you're just in this awkward spot then of like, well, by the time you can do the one-hit knockout, they may have taken 2 or 3 knockouts already.
So, like, is it even worth... So, like, you maybe have done a little bit of chip damage on it. Is it even worth then at that point, like, using Great Wave for a huge knockout to do probably way too much damage?
Right. And so, I don't know. It's, but I will say this. If outside of that specific scenario, it's 180 HP, which is really beefy.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you can, you know, sit this in the back, it only needs 2 water energy to attack as well, so you don't have to commit a ton of energy throughout the game to it either. You can kind of power up other things, and then when you take a turn off, you can power the one in the back up slowly. I don't know. It feels like it's energy efficient enough where in a normal game, that 160 is going to knock out most of what your opponent throws in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then taking a turn off at 180 HP is not, it's fine, right? You probably won't get knocked out.
Unless you're facing an opposing Feraligatr.
But the Feraligatr would have to do the ability to knock you out.
Yeah, you'll just be, you better hope you have a lot of rare candies and a lot of Feraligatrs.
Yeah, exactly.
The one that I think is the best one, personally, out of the pre-release promos is the Metang. Metang, a stage 1 metal Pokemon, 100 HP from Beldum, evolved from Beldum. We're just going to think about its abilities because its attack is just 1 metal, 2 colorless, 60 damage. The ability is Metal Maker. Once during your turn, you may look at the top 4 cards of your deck. Choose any number of basic metal energy you find there and attach them to your Pokemon in any way you'd like. Shuffle and put the rest at the bottom of the deck. So usually we have seen like these kind of things. I think of Magnezone, for example. Yep. Magnezone, you just shuffle the cards back in the deck entirely, like a Cynthia, right? I'm trying to think of an old supporter that just lets you shuffle cards back in the deck.
This one Marnie's them.
Yeah, this one is essentially like Marnie and Iona, where you put those extra cards at the bottom. So really cool to see on a Pokemon. I know a lot of people are excited about this Metang. It seems a little bit constricted, though, because you have to use basic metal energies, right? So something like the Dialga, right? Dialga now only has to get to a stage 1 instead of a stage 2. If you're talking about the V-Star, to be able to accelerate those energies. Because as a big-time Dialga V-Star player here, yep, sometimes it was a little tough to get your rare candy and evolve your Magnezone. But now it's a little bit easier with the Metang. It's not level ball searchable, unfortunately, and it does have 2 retreat costs. But I think it's going to be a little bit easier.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a pretty neat card. I'm thinking back to, like, you know, we have the Magnezone, but to your point, we this one doesn't require you to play rare candies,
mm-hmm,
which is, it's a little easier to find the pieces.
Maybe. Like, I was playing Dialga V-Star, and I was using Iridas to find items like rare candy. Like, that combination, right, I feel like just shouldn't work.
Yeah, well, it's like it clearly was never meant to work that way. Like, or you're gonna play like Arvin in order to find a rare candy and some cool card.
Oh, I'd probably find Arvin now if I was doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I think this is obviously much nicer in terms, mm-hmm, of like less resource intensive. So I like it. My question would be, I don't know what comes in the pack with Metang, because it attaches basic metal energy, which you're like, okay, who am I attaching it to? Because, mm-hmm, it itself, it only does 60 damage. That's not very good. Let's be honest. This is a support Pokemon through and through. And the question you're going to have with a pre-release is, do you pull, or are there other stuff in your pack that either use metal energy specifically or use colorless energy, a lot of them, so you can... Because, you know, if you have to mix up your energy too much with this deck, I could see you whiffing the metal energy more often than you want.
I would think, and this is interesting, if you do get like the Beldum line, right? If you do get the Metang line, I'd imagine that you probably get a Metagross or 2, right? Because I think the Curlia, right, the Kirlia refinement, did it cut? It came with Gardevoirs, didn't it? Do you remember?
I don't remember what set each one's came out in, but because the Shining Akana Gardevoir is not from the same set as the Refinement Kirlia. But there I think there is a Gardevoir that basically has it's a Refinement Gardevoir, weirdly enough.
Yes,
So that is interesting, though. Your point of this Metang maybe will be getting, and we haven't done the set review, and maybe there is, what does Metang evolve into? Metagross?
Metagross, yes.
So there may be, because we haven't looked at the set review, maybe there's a Metagross EX that this works into the same way that Refinement Kirlia, or maybe there's a baby Metagross as well, that this is like the perfect in between to encourage players to not rare candy, which is interesting. That's cool.
It'll be fun to see this one. And then there's two more. There's one that is Coridon, a basic ancient Pokemon, dragon type, 140 damage, fighting colorless attack, Primeval Battering, 30 times damage, does 30 more damage for each of your ancient Pokemon in play, and then a Shred attack for fire, fighting, and colorless, 130 damage. The Shred attack is an attack that is damage that isn't affected by any effects on your opponent's active Pokemon. So it gets through things like Mimikyu. Although Mimikyu doesn't affect this Coridon. If this Coridon was a rule box Pokemon, it would get through Mimikyu.
I guess if there was anything that said like your basic Pokemon, like Iron Bundle. Iron Bundle, I think, has it where basic can't hit. It can't get through. So this gets through Iron Bundle, effectively, I believe. This is cool. Like, I would love to get a kit that had mostly ancient Pokemon in it, because then when I'm ripping those packs open, Jake, I'm just looking for that the ancient A-spec card. Can you imagine?
Oh yeah, that's right.
You draw that A-spec as well. If there's going to be some people who get this pack, pull an ace, that A-spec, and they're just like super happy. They're like, yeah, I'm going to draw six cards off of an item, and then everything's peaches for them.
I'm just having a good time. I wonder if there is an ancient pre-release like pack where like your ancient, well, like you were saying, you know, get that and then the A-spec, but like, you know, like all of the evolution lines and stuff like that, or it's just a bunch of like basic Pokemon that is ancient and or future. That would be really interesting, because I'm trying to think like in the other kind of gimmicks that we've had of like Fusion Strike, Single Strike, Rapid Strike, did it have that same thing? Do you remember if like in Battle Styles, if you got like Octillery was one of the evolution Pokemon in a pre-release kit, I feel like.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think Octillery was there, and Octillery's whole thing is searching your deck for Rapid Strike cards.
Yeah.
And maybe, if I'm remembering correctly, I think the Octillery, there's like a Rapid Strike fish Pokemon. I don't know if it's Basculin, or I want to say that it was one where you needed a multiples of them to do the attack, and maybe that came together. So, but I think I feel like the kit that you'll get if you get this Coridon will have several ancient Pokemon, because otherwise this first attack, choosing this as a pre-release promo would feel so bad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So I would hope that like maybe the kit comes with two Coridons and like two or three other basic ancient Pokemon in there. And then depending on what you pull, you can maybe round it out to get like, you know, the hardest thing will be getting ancient Pokemon that use the same energy types.
Oh yeah, for sure.
This one is a little funky, I'll grant it that, but
fire and fighting.
I mean, I dig it. It's cool. But I think the nice thing about this too is that since it's dragon type, you don't have a weakness. So for your opponent, no matter who you play against, you're kind of like, oh, there's no one pre-release deck that just destroys me, which in the past I think they've designed them where they kind of play rock, paper, scissors with each other. Like, oh, this kit has the grass types and whatever, and that kit has the thing that's weak to grass, but it's good against this kit, which has the, I don't know, lightning or whatever. It's interesting because I'm looking at the ones here this time, and it seems as though primarily they've completely abandoned weakness as like a matchup situation.
Mm-hmm. Depending on the evolution lines, at least at this point in terms of the pre-release promos, there is no weakness battle that you can say. But the final pre-release promo is another really good one. Maridon, 110 HP basic future Pokemon. So we got an ancient, now we're getting a future. Its second attack is not as good as the first, but the second attack is lightning psychic, 160 damage vanilla. The first attack is what you want. Speed peak, it does 40 damage, and you may not think 40 damage is a ton, but after that 40 damage, search your deck for up to two basic energy and attach them to your future Pokemon in any way you'd like. I know that this is somewhat used in the standard format as well once these cards release with the kind of future box set that people have been playing around with. So this Maridon could be really good. I think it might potentially be better than the Metang just because I think the future box deck is better than the Dialga V-Star, unfortunately, for me. But still a really, really cool card. This will be good in the pre-release format, I feel like, because it just accelerates energies. And you can do them to your future Pokemon in any way you'd like. So you can put it on that Maridon. You can put it on, you know, the one bench Pokemon that you have or something like that.
Yeah, this is a really cool attack because 40 damage also, nothing to scoff at.
Especially in a pre-release format.
Yeah, like, I can't remember. I'm really having a hard time thinking about Pokemon, basic one-prize Pokemon, that have a single colorless attack that do 40 damage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think there's, like, is there, like, an Ember...
Usually a lot of that stuff, but those are on, like, baby Pokemon, so Pokemon that evolve into, like, stage twos or whatever, and not necessarily a basic Pokemon that doesn't evolve. So usually the, like, the Ember and things like that, the Water Gun is usually, like, 20 damage or so. 20 damage or, like, 10 plus an effect of some sort, or 20 plus an effect. So this Maridon not evolving and doing 40 is pretty standard or pretty all right. But the second effect is really what, like...
Yes. Yeah, I'm like, you get both in one. And your point about in a future deck, the fact that it's a colorless attack as well, I don't know what the future Pokemon deck's going to look like necessarily, but even the ones existing, like Iron Valiant...
Mm-hmm.
Well, 40 damage, if you're going second and you're like, okay, well, how do I knock out something in front of me? Well, if they're playing any sort of like evolution, like Pokemon that need to evolve, 40 damage plus another 20 damage or, you know, 80 even if you really need to stretch to get up to that much, not that hard for those decks to do with two Iron Valiants to get to 80 damage. And then you take a prize and only leave a single prizer in the active, like that's great.
I have seen some lists for like future boxes and stuff like that and future decks in Japan. And also I think Andrew Mahone did some streams of Temporal Forces decks. And funny enough, there's a deck, I don't know how good it is, but there is a deck that is like pretty much just Maridon Iron Hands. And just
does
plays,
it play this?
Like, I think so. And it just plays really aggressive with like the electromagnetic, what's that called?
Generators.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
so you just like get a whole bunch of energy in play. It's really funny. I don't know how good it is, but it's just really funny just seeing like three Iron Hands on the bench like fully charged.
Yeah, it would be pretty wild.
If you want, though, some post-rotation format decks and some ideas to start cooking up the Fukuoka Championships. The Champions League event happened over the weekend, post-rotation format that I believe has temporal forces legal in it as well, right?
Yep.
So yep. Lots of exciting stuff in here. And the winner was not one that I actually expected, Sean. I would be called a liar if I said that I was going to call this winner. Who was it again? It was Daisuke Kubo from Japan playing Lugia V-Star, Sean. When was the last time we thought of this card?
It's one of those cards where I just have constantly thought, like, I think this card is dead. I think it has been a dead deck for a mm-hmm. while now. For a number of reasons, but one of them is being like, you know, hey, when you're weak to lightning and you're a two prizer and like, you know, and then Maraidon and Iron Hands is sitting out here just eating well, you're like, I don't think I should play this deck.
So, it's funny too, because we talked about Prime Catcher, right? We talked about all of these great A-specs, and you know what the first A-spec to win was? Master Ball.
Yep.
So, yep. I love the Master Ball, right? Because I was like, they should reprint Master Balls in A-spec, right? Like, sick card, stuff like that. And I was like, man, Master Ball is cool. I didn't really think it would win. But there's some other crazy things in this deck as well, Sean. Two Great Balls as well. Ball, not a card that we see a lot of times. No Nest Ball in this list. Although, does Nest Ball survive rotation now that I think about it?
I don't want to eat my words, but I think it survives rotation.
I think it does because it's Scarlet and Violet base set, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Nest Ball survives. So it's a little weird that they're not playing Nest Ball, but I think opting here instead for the Ultra Ball capturing aroma package.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Great Ball. And then, yeah, to your point, like, I guess if you have Master Ball and two Great Ball over Nest Ball, because I don't know. I think that's a little wild. I think you could totally play Nest Balls in here, to be frank. Or even the new, I don't know if, it's, yeah, it is released in Japan. The new Bread Basket card.
Whatever that is, the new Battle VIP pass, but you can use it at any point in the game.
Right, like you could get out some of the new cards that are coming out, like the pre-evolutions for that. So it's a little wild, but, you know, Japan sometimes has some wild choices. Like, they're playing two Serena in this deck.
They're also playing a Jock in this deck. Do you even know what Jock does, Sean?
Oh, yeah. Jock is a great card for GLC, but you search your deck for two evolution Pokemon, put them into your hand. Like, basically, it's Adventurer's Discovery or something? Mm-hmm. Whatever people are playing in Lugia V-Star before to go get those Archeops.
Yeah,
you could just play Jacques instead with a cap with an Ultra Ball. it's the same thing.
It's great to find your evolutions, and you're playing three different evolutions in this deck: the Lugia V-Star, the Archeops, and the new line that's added in the Lugia list. Chinchino, Sean. Chinchino, stage 1, 110 HP, colorless Pokemon, has the attack special round for 70 times. It costs 2 colorless energies, so very easy in, you know, the Archeops builds to be able to power this up. 70 damage for each special energy card attached to this Pokemon. So in a deck that is full of special energies, this thing can hit big numbers. And especially as well, this is another really, really cool thing with the Chinchino line. There is a Mincino, I'm not sure, from Brilliant Stars that survives the format that has Call for Family. So if maybe you don't want to put a Lugia V in the active, or maybe you didn't find a Lugia V at all, don't worry. If you have an energy and a Mincino in the active, you can get two basic Pokemon and put them on the bench. Could be another Mincino, could be a Lugia V, could be two Lugia Vs, could be a Snorlax, right? Don't put the Lumineon in for Call for Family. That'd be weird. But really, really cool stuff going on with this deck, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think the other big thing that makes this archetype maybe more popular is the new special energy, which we also haven't talked about, but called Mist Energy. And it prevents all effects of your opponent's attacks done to the Pokemon this card is attached to. So that would stop the instant knockouts from Roaring Moon or Giratina V-Star. That's a big one. Is placing damage counters considered an effect of an attack? I want to say so.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, because it's not the attack's damage. It's an effect of an attack to place the damage counter.
How does Jirachi read? Because if Jirachi reads the same way, I'm pulling it up right now. Man, there's a lot of Jirachis. It says prevent all damage counters from being placed on your benched Pokemon by effects of attacks used by your opponent's basic Pokemon. So it is
an effect of an attack. But
that one specifically says damage placed by the effect of an opponent's attack.
I still think it's considered an effective attack, but they didn't want the Jirachi to stop all effects of attacks, only the damage placed part.
I guess it makes sense, and it probably does work since we're talking about it.
Also, you know, that'll stop a Sableye on your little Chinchinos or your Minchinos in the back. Or honestly, if you're, you know, certain games, you might have them trying to set up knockouts on Archeops with the Sableye. And you can actually attach a Mist Energy to an Archeops to be like, no, if you want to take this Archeops,
absolutely
you're
going
to have to boss it.
Yeah.
You're going to have to bring it up. So
either do that or do the whole Moonlight Shuriken thing going on. But cool, cool stuff to see the Lugias. If you still have your Lugias, make sure to sleeve them up and get them ready. I know Lugia is a popular choice of many of the times, but second place was also not a deck that I think I would have guessed. Arceus V-Star Alolan Vulpix. Not the first time that we've seen Alolan Vulpix V-Star hit the limelight, Sean, but it's back again here in post-rotation.
Yeah, I mean, this one's obviously, I think with all of the ancient and future Pokemon that are coming out, I didn't watch the tournament. I'm not sure what the numbers are, but I imagine part of its success was that so many of the new Pokemon and the archetypes previous to that have abilities that, like, well, this Alolan Vulpix is really going to do well in a format where most things have abilities and Escape Rope has rotated.
I think that this is just like one of those cards that it's like when a new format emerges, right? This is a great option because who is planning to face it? Right.
Yeah.
Like everybody's preparing for all the new cards. Everybody's preparing for the old top decks like Charizard and Roaring Moon and stuff like that. But Alolan Vulpix is like it's continuously the underdog. So very, very interesting. Doing that 160 damage and it's not affected by any effects on your opponent's active Pokemon and preventing all damage done by Pokemon with abilities next turn is just a really interesting kind of stall type card, barrier or wall, I guess is the better way to say it, a wall type Pokemon.
I will be interested to see, though, if this Pokemon becomes more popular, if cards like Iron Bundle become popular as a response. Because ultimately, because I think that, like, yeah, Escape Rope rotates, but Iron Bundle also exists. So, you know, to your point, I think this is a good early format choice, maybe. Catch people off guard as they're playing with the new toys, but I question this one's long-term viability.
Yeah,
though, but
I mean, it's like Riley's, Riley's Duraludon V Max when that first came out, and played it at like the Full Grip event, and people were like, "Oh my gosh!" And then it just kind of like that was its peak moment. But there's another card, Sean, in here that is new.
Okay.
Yeah, the Airy trainer supporter card. Look at your opponent's hand. Discard up to two item cards you find there.
No.
Let's go!
I mean, it's a one of.
Yes.
So it might be a situation where if your opponent is taking a while, they're building up a hand, and you think, oh, maybe they have cross switchers, or maybe they're planning for a turn, you can really absolutely destroy that little scenario.
You can do a lot of damage, and hopefully when this releases, the control kind of boosts up a little bit, I will say. I'd love to, although I'd like to see like more exciting control. I don't know. Snorlax control doesn't really do it for me personally.
It's not a very, it doesn't feel as active as a control archetype, because you're mostly just saying, hey, I'm going to stick things in the active and then they can't move. Mm-hmm. And my whole game plan is to just make it so you're stuck there. But one other thing I'll note about this deck is the first deck we looked at, Master Ball, was the ace spec of choice.
Mm-hmm.
This deck, it is Prime Catcher, the one that everyone was like, oh, this is like the best. And
including us.
Play this. Yes. Yeah. I mean, look, Prime Catcher, it's a fantastic card. So
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But I wanted to call that out because as we look to a couple of other lists here really quick, I just want to know, like, okay, what else is new? Like, mm-hmm. are there other aspects that are also being used?
What list do you have, like a list that you want to look at real quick?
Well, the third place list real quick, Jake, which is a Snorlax stall list.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
It plays three copies of that airy card, which makes you discard items.
Let's go.
Which is really annoying. But for this one, Hero Cape is the A spec of choice.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if for those of you who don't remember, Hero Cape, I believe, adds, I'm trying to click it but also look at it, but I think
the Pokemon
adds,
this card is attached
HP.
To, yes, gets 100 HP.
So like, yeah, your Snorlax is, instead of being a 150 HP annoying thing to deal with, it's a 250 HP. Annoying thing to deal with, you know, and then couple that with Silene, and you might never kill a Snorlax.
Exactly. Too bad we don't have Lana's fishing rod still in the format. Do you remember that card?
I do, and I think there's a reason why that card and this and these aspects could never coexist.
The Snorlax, kind of the same with the Rotom and different mill effects going on in the list, does now play the Chiyu EX, right? Chiyu EX, the 190 HP basic EX Pokemon, has that fire attack, the first attack for one fire energy, Jealousy Cinch, to discard the top two cards of your opponent's deck. So we know that Crabominable, I think, has been the popular choice for people as of late, but now moving on into the Chiyu. I think it has a easier retreat cost overall.
That's a good call. Yeah, because you don't want the Crabominable getting trapped in the active by your opponent at any point. It's also bad for you. So,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's only one other deck that I actually want to look at, to be honest, but I will point out two decks that we don't have lists for. There is an Ancient Box deck at 9th place and a Future Box deck at 14th. So those, they're there. They probably need some refinement. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure they will get better as more and more people play them. But the last list I wanted to just pop up was a new one by Takeru Yamano.
I was hoping you would say this.
Heck yeah, which is Great Tusk, a Great Tusk deck. Jake, what does Great Tusk do?
This will probably be my deck of choice when Temporal Forces releases. Great Tusk, a 140 HP ancient fighting type Pokemon, has the first attack Earth Blast for two colorless energy. Discard one card from the top of your opponent's deck. If you played an ancient supporter card from your hand this turn, discard three more cards. And guess what, Sean? You play eight. Count them, eight different ancient supporters. Either Professor Sada's Vitality, which actually works real well with this deck, considering that you need two energies to be able to use the attack. And so that could just be really easy accelerated with Professor Sada's Vitality, or the Explorer's Guidance, which is a new supporter ancient card. Look at the top six cards of your deck, put two of them in your hand and discard the remaining cards. So effectively a Hapu of old, if you remember the Hapu from Unified Minds, I believe it was, Sean, in the 2019-2020. Was it in 2020? Yeah, because Unified Minds just released for Worlds in 2019. So around that time, Hapu appeared in a couple decks, but we also had like Welder and stuff during that time. So obviously it was a backseat. But for this deck specifically, this mill deck, it works out real, real well, Sean.
You know, I look at this deck, Jake, and I will say this. I think if you think about the deck as being like, okay, it's entirely a single prize deck. It technically has a Pidgeot V, but you can shuffle it back in almost always.
Yeah, you'll never deck out.
Right. Aside from that, though, you're playing a single prize deck, meaning your opponent has to take six prizes, which means more than likely, you know, you'll probably get six attacks off. Let's say in an average game, you get six of these Great Tusk attacks, and that sort of nets out to, what would that be? Six times four, 24 cards that you can mill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to understand, Jake, how you win by only milling 24 cards from your opponent,
because you play Hero's Cape, right? You play Hero's Cape, you play the ancient booster energy capsule, right? Boosting the HP of your Dawn Fan to awkward numbers. And especially when you play multiple counter catchers, right? Because you're never taking a prize pretty much, so you're always going to be down on prizes, trapping those little Pokemon in the active spot, making sure that your Airy, right, can discard a couple item cards, some key item cards, as well as your other mill effects. And you play other things in here too, like the Mimikyu, right? You can still use the not a ton of mill effects. I mean, you can use some area, but you've got some stall tactics as well. So did watch a little bit of this deck on stream. It does work, and it can do some good work, especially like in the Roaring Moon matchup. The Roaring Moon matchup, I think, is actually like pretty favorable for the Dawn fans. So I think decks are just like so aggressive overall at this point. Yeah. That Dawn Fan just kind of excels into some of these decks and can make a great run, especially if you get to trap some of these Pokemon. You also play a lot of Bravery Charms as well.
Yeah, I suppose. I think to myself, I'm like, okay, Bravery Charm, Ancient Booster Capsule, that does put you in like the 190 HP or 200 HP, and Hero's Cape is 240 HP. All of that is lovely, but none of those numbers are particularly impossible for most decks to hit, I would say.
I would say, though, that like you have to commit a lot of resources to do that in a lot of decks. And if you have something like, so you have like a big V Pokemon, right? A lot of your like big EX or big V star Pokemon have these other support Pokemon to get the game going, right? To be able to utilize its game plan, right? So there's almost always a Pokemon that you can trap in the active, it feels like. And plus, there are other tech cards that you can put in here to maybe help with that matchup, like the Erica's Invitation, I think, is one that you could do to help trap, right? You also have potentially in the future that blocks Snorlax, or is it block or unfazed fat? I think it's the block.
Well, it's the block. But the problem with the block one, right, is that block only matters if it's in the active, which means you're not milling.
Well, yeah, but you have other, like the Mimikyu, you're not milling either.
True. What the Mimikyu does is it likely forces a Pokemon to attack that is a suboptimal attacker into Great Tusk. Mm-hmm. Which I'm like, okay, fair enough.
So there's just a lot of, especially like, and this is something that I've seen I think like Azul, when he was doing his stream about it, I think Rahul talked about it as well, like in his stream. Like decks like this just really excel when people don't know how to play against it, right? Or are not prepared.
I was going to say, like, Japan is, I think, a best of one format for the most part.
Yes. Yeah.
And I would have fully agree. Like, new format, you sit down on like the very first tournament, big tournament of this format, you don't know what's happening. And then turn two, once you realize what's up, you put two or three of those support Pokemon down. Game is already over for you. Mm-hmm. I fully agree with that from your perspective, Jay, because I'm like, yeah, like, if you don't have a chance to adjust, then you're dead. The second that you know what this deck does, however, and especially in a best of three, you play it like you would play a Snorlax deck, except this deck is worse than Snorlax, because
I don't know about that.
I do, because I think Snorlax has more ways to actively mess up your board state,
mm-hmm.
with Erica's Invitation, with it probably rotates by this point, but like, you know, Echoing Horn, other things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this deck, it doesn't really have anything to mess up your board state except Countercatcher. That's really the only card in the deck that actively makes you play suboptimally.
Think about the start Comfey or Radiant Greninja and go second. Your opponent just thinks that you're a Lost Box deck.
Well, yeah, that's true. Like, you know, but what I was gonna say is, I think in a format where people either know what this deck is trying to do, or in a best of three, I would actually pose that a Spidops EX version of this deck might be interesting for people to explore.
I did see a Spidops deck list in Japan recently on Twitter. I wish I had it on me, but it was like it was like an actually good deck that like won like a local kind of event or something. I think something equivalent more to like a cup.
Okay, yeah.
But it was awesome. I wish I had it on me.
This for me is like, I think a Spidops version of this deck in the West could be an interesting thing to explore, because that, if you can actively trap your opponent's Pokemon and make their retreat costs like 2 or 3,
mm-hmm.
then all of a sudden, yeah, it's a whole new ball game. Because, you know, it's one thing if you're trapping things that have 1 or 2 retreat costs, but whatever. It's a whole other world when you're trapping something and all of a sudden that retreat cost now is 3 or 4 and it's not an attacker. I will say
in the top 16, it was a pretty diverse top 16 overall in this event. What is it? 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 different archetypes in the top 16. Arceus decks having 3, which the Arceus decks, I think, like, one of them was the one that we went over, and the other two were Arceus, Giratina, V-Star. Right, so the return of Arctina is also coming back in this one. And then the Lost Zone box. What kind of Lost Zone box? Oh, we only know one of the lists. And it's like the Tord Reckliff box of the Lost Box with the Roaring Moon and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to see where rotation goes. This did have over 2,600 players in the event, Sean. So a huge event over in Japan.
I mean, one other thing that I would say is that the event also. Can you hear me, Jake?
Yeah. I can hear you.
Oh, now I can hear you. Okay, cool. I accidentally turned the volume off on my browser. The one thing that I would say, though, I looked at the Giratina list, and on that one, they're playing the Maximum Belt as the mm-hmm. A spec, which is the one that does 50 more damage. So it's cool that 4 of the, 7 A specs that are coming out with the next set were in the top 16 of this first tournament. So who knows what that will shake up to in the long run, but like, I think that speaks well to the power level of the various A spec cards. And my guess is that the Ancient box and the Future box probably plays the respective, you know, A specs. Who knows?
Who knows? But definitely look to try it out for yourself. Test it out. Let us know. And obviously, once the set review comes out for us and then also some events with these cards, we will give you the rundown. So, Sean, is there anything else you want to talk about today?
That's it for me, Jake.
That's going to be all for this episode of the Metapod Podcast. Pokemon Podcast revolves around the evolving meta. Thanks for joining us for this hour segment of fun on the channel. Let us know what you want us to talk about in future episodes. I'm Jake. That's Sean. Have a great rest of the day.